Going to look at Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 19 in just a moment or two. Again, we do want to invite everyone over to our the pastor's house at 65 Santa Barbara Drive. And we invite you to come over if you'd like to participate in swimming. We're going to swim from 3 to 5. Then everyone out of the pool, we're going to eat at 5 o'clock. Amen. So I trust that you would be there for that. If you don't want to come for the swimming time, we understand that. But please be there at 5. And if you don't want to be there at 5, we ask you this, that you be there at 6 o'clock for the service time. Amen. We're all going to have some preaching. We're going to sing some old fashioned hymns. We're going to have a wonderful time that evening at 6 o'clock. You say, where am I going to park? I don't know. You got to find your place. Amen. Just don't block any neighbor's driveway. They're used to it by now, and they do the same thing when they have their big graduation parties and wedding things. So don't feel guilty. Just park wherever you can. Maybe you have to drop off your loved one and then just go a little bit halfway down the block and park and come in. So you come in the side entrance. The gate will be open. Just come in and enjoy yourself. We do ask you this. If you have a chair, like one of those outdoor chairs, please bring that. If you don't have one, we do have a few pieces of furniture, and we do have a couple of chairs, but we don't have enough to sit everybody. So if you can come and bring one, that'd be a real blessing. But do not let that stop you from coming. We'll get it figured out as well. Well, Psalm 19. As I began to ask the Lord what he'd have me to preach about this morning, I began to think about an outdoor service, and I came here to Psalm chapter 19. What a wonderful passage of scripture that is. Some sermons are preached without a pulpit. You know, pastors stand and they can preach in Hyde Park outside London. They can stand in the street corner and they can preach. Some are preached without a pulpit. Some messages are even delivered without a microphone. Can you imagine that back in the day when there was no microphones and no amplification? And so everyone kind of sat close to be able to hear the man of God as he preached the word of God. And we find that some pastors preach without a manuscript. They just get up there, open the Bible up, and they just begin to preach. And that's wonderful if they can do that. Some preach without notes. Some preach without an iPad. Unfortunately, I am not one of them. Amen. I want to stay on track. I want to keep where God and the lane that God has given me for that. Some preachers preach without standing behind a pulpit. There's been times when pastors had to sit down because of injury or illness, but they still wanted to preach the Word of God. And so we understand this, that while some messages aren't delivered the way we actually think that they are, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Every sunrise preaches. Every sunset testifies. Every star in the night sky declares the glory of God. Every cloud, every galaxy, every mountain peak, every blade of grass joins in a universal chorus announcing one grand and glorious truth that Psalm 19:1 tells us, that God is glorious. And Psalm 19 begins with one of the most majestic statements in all the scripture. So let's stand as I give respect to the reading of God's word. And I'll read down through verse number 6, but we're going to hone in on verse number 1. Notice Psalm 19 in beginning in verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and the circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. But I want us to concentrate this morning on verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Father, I pray that this message you have laid upon this pastor's heart, Father, would be a blessing to your people. Oh, Father, how we just need to be reminded that the heavens do declare the glory of God. So, Father, I pray now as we preach this message, Father, as you enable me and fill me and use me this morning, that your people will come away with a new understanding of the heavens declaring your glory. And then, Father, as well, we pray if there could be someone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, that this might be the day, Father, when the Holy Spirit of God pricks their heart and they understand that they must be saved in order to be able to go to heaven. And they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And Father, to that end, we'll give you thanks and glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, Psalm 19 begins with what I believe to be one of the most majestic statements in all the scriptures. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. David, who was the shepherd king, spent many nights beneath the open sky as a shepherd. But before he sat on the throne, he slept under the stars. Before he heard the applause of the nation of Israel for him to be the king of the nation of Israel, he listened to the quiet testimony of all the creation that was around him underneath those starlit skies. As they looked upward, guess what he saw? He saw more than stars. He saw a sermon. He saw more than the sky. He saw the splendor and the beauty and the glory of God. He saw more than nature. He saw the fingerprints of God himself. Here in Psalm chapter 19, we didn't read the whole psalm for the sake of time, but this psalm teaches us that God reveals himself in two different great ways. And the one that we're concentrating on this morning is found in verse number 1 down through verse number 6, where God reveals himself through creation. But then in verses 7 through verse number 14, we find that God reveals himself through the scriptures. The skies show us that God exists and that God is glorious. The scriptures show us that who God is, what does God require out of mankind, and how sinners might be made right with a holy and just God. Psalm 19:1 is about what theologians call a general revelation. By that I simply mean this, that God has made something known about himself to all the people that have been in this created world. Whether you're lost, whether you're saved, whether in America, whether in Europe, he has made known this general revelation to every creation. Creation can't tell us everything. It can't tell us the name of Jesus, and it doesn't tell us the name of Jesus. It can't tell us the message of the cross, and it does not tell us the message of the cross. It can't explain justification by faith, and guess what? It does not explain justification by faith. But creation tells us this one thing, that there is a creator, and that this creator is majestic, he's wise, he's powerful, he's orderly, and guess what? Thank God, he's worthy of you and I's worship of him. So today from Psalm chapter 19 in verse number 1, I want us to consider this thought. The heavens are preaching and the message is the glory of God. If you're taking notes this morning, notice first of all this morning, the ceaseless proclamation of the heavens. Notice the Bible says the heavens declare. As we think about this ceaseless proclamation of the heavens, we understand first of all the declaration. Notice that David said the heavens declare. That word declare carries this idea of recounting. It gives us the idea of announcing or proclaiming or make known or telling. The heavens just don't exist. The Bible says, and David says, that they declare the glory of God. That's not just a passive scenery. As we look out at the earth and the trees and the sun, the moon, the stars, it's not passive scenery. They're an active witness for you and I. So whether you believe it or not, or whether you know it or not, creation has a voice. It's not an audible voice like my voice and your voice is, but still it's a real voice nonetheless. And look in verse number 3 of Psalm 19. The Bible said there is no speech, no language where their voice is not heard. Creation speaks without syllables. It speaks without words. It preaches to you and I without sentences. It communicates to you and I without grammar in English. It declares the greatness of God in a language that's understood by every tribe, every nation, and every tongue. That word declared is in a form that suggests this. When I found this out, man alive, God just put those goose pimples all over me. That word declare suggests an ongoing action. The heavens are continually declaring. They declared yesterday. Guess what? Today the heavens are declaring. And thank God tomorrow the heavens will declare the glory of God as well. And the testimony of the heavens isn't just a one-time announcement. It is a never-ending sermon for all creation to hear and absorb. Think about this. The sun rises in the morning and creation says, God is faithful. The stars appear and creation says this, God is infinite, as we look at the multitude upon multitude of stars and galaxies. The seasons change as they are about ready to do here in Hampton, Virginia. And creation says this, that God is orderly. The thunder rolls and creation says this, that God is powerful and He's almighty. The rain falls and creation says God is gracious to you and I to drop the rain in order that we might enjoy this great beauty that we have. Every day, my friends, we find that the heavens are preaching. Imagine now walking into an art gallery. I know that we never probably would do that, but just suppose you got a wild ticket and you said, well, let's just go down to Norfolk and let's go down to the art museum in Norfolk. So you go down there and on the wall you see a breathtaking painting. The colors are so vivid. The details of that painting are just so precise. The composition of that artwork is very brilliant. And as you stand there looking at that artwork, you don't say this. What a remarkable accident that painting was. How amazing that that paint just spilled itself onto that canvas. No, as we look at that amazing piece of artwork, we understand this, that the painting points beyond itself. It tells you that there was an artist. In just the same way, the heavens point beyond themselves. The stars aren't the artist. They are the artwork. The sky is not the painter. They are the canvas. The universe isn't ultimate. It's declaring the one who is ultimate, Jehovah God. Well, we see the declaration, but then notice secondly, the display. You know, David doesn't say this. The heavens conceal the glory of God. He says the heavens declare or make known or manifest the glory of God. You see, creation isn't hiding God from us. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. Creation, as we look out here, even out these windows this morning, we understand that creation is announcing who God is. And that means that every person lives beneath a preaching sky. Get this. Your atheist friend lives beneath a preaching sky. The skeptic that lives next door to you lives under a preaching sky. The believer, guess what? We live under a preaching sky. The child that plays in your yard and the scientist that looks through that telescope, the sailor that watches the horizon as the ship moves towards it, that farmer that's waiting for the rain, all live under heaven, and the heavens are declaring the glory of God. Romans 1 and verse 20 is a text proof for this. The Bible said the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are, notice the wording, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So in other words, creation makes God's power and divine nature evident to the creation. People may suppress the truth. They may lie about the truth. They may hide the truth. But understand this, creation will still continue to preach the truth of the gloriousness of our Heavenly Father. Let me ask you this question. Have you become deaf to creation's sermon? Sometimes we get so familiar with something, it dulls our wonder. When we see the sunrise in the morning and you barely notice it, unless you're on the ladies' retreat at the coast and you see the beautiful sunrise, and then that's really something. We see the stars up at night, but what do? We keep scrolling for the stars on our phones. We hear the rain and we can complain about the inconvenience of the rain. I'm going to get wet. How are we going to have our outside activity? We live surrounded by miracles of God and we treat them as something ordinary. But Psalm 19 in verse number 1, it calls you and I to recover the wonder of God's creation and who He is. The next time you look at the sky, just don't say, we've been guilty of this before. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. We ought to say this, God is glorious. The next time you see the sun breaking through the clouds, don't admire the colors perhaps of the rainbow that God has made for you and I. It ought to cause us to worship the Creator of creation. The heavens are declaring something. The question for you and I this morning is, are we listening to what creation is declaring? Well, not only do we see the ceaseless proclamation from heaven, notice secondly, the celestial portrait of God's glory. The celestial portrait of God's glory. Notice the Bible said, the heavens declare, but what do they declare? Once again, the glory of God. Notice, if you're taking notes, the majesty of His glory. The context of creation's message is not vague. There can be no misunderstanding what they are saying. David tells us exactly what the heavens are declaring. He said they're declaring, they're showing forth, they're beaming forth the glory of God. And the heavens aren't just declaring the existence of some higher power. They're implying that this universe had a beginning, and that beginning was none other than God the Father. They're not only telling us that nature is beautiful, and nature is beautiful, but they're declaring the glory of God. That word glory speaks about weight. It speaks about worth and beauty and majesty and splendor. And at last it gives us this idea of showing honor. It expresses this idea of something being deeply filled with meaning. So we would say this, that God's glory is the radiant display of who He is. It's His greatness showing forth. It's His holiness made visible to you and I. It's the beauty of His being that's being revealed to you and I. And when the heavens declare the glory of God, they're declaring that God is not small, finite thing. He's not weak. God is not ordinary. He's not limited just like you and I are. He is majestic beyond our description. He is excellent beyond our comparison and worthy of all beyond all measure. And by the way, the glory of God isn't something that God just borrowed off somebody to put upon Himself. It isn't something He received from somebody else. Listen, His glory belongs to Him because it's by His nature. And God doesn't become glorious because creation praises Him. Creation praises God because He already is glorious. Amen. And the sun doesn't make God glorious. The stars don't make God glorious. The galaxies did not do anything to make God glorious. They simply reflect the glory that already belong to Him. Think about it this way. The moon really has no light of its own. It shines because it reflects the light of the sun. But in just the same way, creation doesn't have any glory apart from God. Whatever beauty creation has, whatever brilliance creation has, and we understand this, we wonder when we see in creation, it's only a reflection of the greater glory of the Creator, God Himself. So think about this. If the reflection is beautiful, how much more beautiful would the source be? If we look up and we see that the nature and skies and nature and the trees and all the stars in the sky are only a reflection of the glory of the Creator, how much more beautiful would the source be, God Himself? If the heavens are magnificent, how magnificent must be the God who created this world. The glory of God as seen in this creation should cause us to stand back in awe. It should lift our eyes above the temporary things in this world. And it ought to remind us that there is one who is eternal, there's one who is holy, and there's one worthy of all our worship of him. You know, we live in a day today when many people are impressed with human achievement. And then mankind has come up with a lot of good things. I just recently saw in the news that we're getting ready to send up a new scientific satellite up into the stars that's going to make the Hubble look like something that was built in 1920. And I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed how God gave man the smarts to do something like that. And we marvel at technology. We marvel at architecture. We look at all the things that science is bringing us and all modern medicine and all the discoveries that God allows us to figure out. And certainly these things that man has done are impressive. And we ought to be impressed by it. But all human achievement is simply small when placed beneath the immense canopy of God's heaven. Thought about this. Man could build a telescope, but God made the stars that he studies. God can launch a rocket, and we're getting ready to launch a new rocket, but God made the heavens that rocket would travel through. Man can study the universe, and we ought to study the universe, but get this, God spoke the universe into existence. I'm just reminding you this morning that the heavens declare the glory of God. And they tell us that he is greater than even our minds can comprehend. He's higher than our thoughts could ever reach and more glorious than our words could ever express. We can apply it to our life this way this morning. This means our worship of him, the creator, the glorious one, should never be casual. If the heavens declare his glory, then our hearts ought to respond with reverence to the creator of this world. We shouldn't approach God as though he was just some common, ordinary thing. You know, when I hear people use the term, well, I talked to the man upstairs. I just want to beat him down. I'll just be honest with you. Listen, he's not the man upstairs. He is a glorious, righteous creator of this earth. And we shouldn't treat his name lightly. We shouldn't treat his word carelessly. And as we enter into his presence, it should not be done casually. God, whose glory fills heaven, is worthy of our highest praise. He's worthy of our deepest reverence and our complete surrender to him. Let me ask you, have you done that? Have you given yourself completely to the creator of this world? Well, the heavens declare his glory. So I guess the million-dollar question for you and I today is simply this. Do our lives do the same? Look at your life today and say, does my life give glory to the Father up in heaven? Well, we see the majesty of the glory, but notice secondly, the magnitude of his greatness. You see, the heavens just don't tell us that God exists. They declare that God is glorious. The universe is vast beyond human comprehension, and we can't even fathom all that God has for us in this universe. Our solar system is immense, our galaxy is staggering, and beyond our galaxy are billions and billions and billions of other galaxies that God has created. And the more that humanity discovers, the more we realize this, how small you and I are here on earth, and how great God is. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Suppose you go out on a clear night and you look up at the stars. When you first step out and you look up, the truth is you only see a few stars at the first. Then your eyes begin to adjust a little bit and you can see more. But the longer that you look up into the heavens, the more stars seem to appear. They don't appear. They always were there. We weren't adjusted to see them. And what seems dark begins to sparkle with all kinds of light. And that is often how our worship of God works. At first, we may see only a little bit of God's glory. But the longer we look, guess what? The more that we see. The more we behold his works, the more we behold his word, the more that we behold his son and his grace, the more our hearts begin to say this, oh Lord, how great thou art. David saw the heavens as a portrait of God's glory. The sky is not some random decoration. It's God's divine display. The vastness of outer space tells us something of God's infinity. The beauty of the sunset tells us something of God's artistry. The power of the storm tells us of something of God's almighty power. The heavens showcase God's glory, but they don't capture its entire splendor. Creation reveals His greatness, but there's always more to discover. There's always more for you and I to understand. We believe this, that if the universe is so magnificent, then surely the Creator must be more magnificent than the creation. Think of it this way. A building is never greater than the person that built it. A song is never greater than the composer that wrote it. A painting is never greater than the painter. And creation is glorious, but God is still more glorious than creation. As we think about that, that ought to humble you and I. We ought to sit in awe and humbleness of our being, because we live in a world that always puts man in the center of everything. We measure everything by our opinions, our likes on Facebook, our likes on social media, and we think about our own ambitions. We measure ourselves by our own desires, but one look up into the heavens ought to remind us that we're not the center of this universe. God is the center of this universe. Psalm 8 and verses 3 and verse 4 says this: When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You see, the heavens have a way of putting you and I into our proper place. When we look up and see God's greatness, His vastness, and His glorious, listen, it makes us feel about this small. And it reminds us that we are small. And although we're small, guess what? We're not insignificant. We're tiny, but we're not forgotten by God. And yes, we're made of dust, and we'll go back to dust, but yet we're loved by God who made the stars and created this world. And that's humbling to me. But guess what? It's also comforting to me to know as well that the Creator of this universe loves me. And I think about this. We see the ceaseless proclamation from heaven. We see the celestial portrait of God's glory. But notice, thirdly, the crafted proof of God's handiwork. The Bible said, "And the firmament showeth His handiwork." Notice, first of all, the firmament reveals God's design. So here in this verse, David uses another phrase that's important. And the phrase is simply this: the firmament. And in this passage, he refers to the expanse, the visible sky stretched out above the earth. He refers to the firmament of the land, and the heavens declare, and the firmament, the Bible said, shows. And the first line speaks about creation. The second line says creation displays God's glory. Notice it says the firmament showeth His handiwork. That means that the skies reveal the work of God's hands. I like to use this term. It's craftsmanship language. You know, when you go into buy a new house today, a brand new house, there's not much craftsmanship in it. I mean, it's just put together as fast as they can to make as much money as they can. But there was a day back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s that master craftsmanship was built. You just didn't have cabinets that were just plain. They were fancy. They were designed. The trim was beautiful. Everything was done with a master designer and a master planner there as well. Understand this, that David's creation isn't accidental. It's crafted. It bears the marks of God's design upon it. The heavens weren't some cosmic accident. There's no such thing as a big bang. Understand this, that these heavens and this creation was God's handiwork. That term handiwork seems to suggest this: skill and purpose and personal effort. So God's creation to him was effortless. He simply spoke, and this world and creation came into being. David describes this creation as God's handiwork because it shows wisdom and it shows a deliberate design. Think of it this way. A watch suggests a watchmaker, doesn't it? A house indicates a builder. A poem points to a poet. A meal signifies a cook. So in other words, creation has to signify a creator. This past week, as the ladies went to the Ladies' Coast Retreat, if Dinah was walking along that coast and found these words written in the sand, "I love you, Diana C., and she found those words written on the sand, she wouldn't think that some random waves just arranged those letters. Prayerfully, she would know that a person had been there. Hopefully, she would think it's me and not somebody else. What I'm trying to convey to you this morning is simply this. Meaning is linked to our mind, and design indicates a designer. So when we look at the complexity of this world, we see the order that God has placed here. We look at the beauty that and the vastness of the universe, we're seeing evidence of God's handiwork. So think about it. The earth is positioned in such a way that life can flourish. If we were turned just half a degree one way or another, we all would fling off this earth and nobody would live. Think about this. The sun gives us light and warmth. The moon affects our tides. The atmosphere that we breathe affects life. The seasons come and go, and the Creator ordered displays show His precision and purpose in this creation. Here's the truth. Creation is not God. There are some people that believe that, but I want you to know that creation is not God. We don't worship the sky, the sun, the moon, stars. We're not tree huggers. Listen, that's idolatry. But creation is from God that points us back to a God who loved us and created this world for you and I. You know, here's the problem. There's a difference between admiring creation and worshiping creation. And as God's children, we can enjoy the beauty of this world, and we ought to. He created it for you and I without making it some kind of idol. Listen, we can love the mountains. I just came from the mountains. I did a wedding on a pasture on a hillside this past Saturday, and it was beautiful, and I enjoyed the mountains. The ladies came back from the ocean, and that was beautiful. We all love flowers and forests and stars, and who doesn't love a sunset? We love those because they're all gifts from God that points us back to God. Well, we see that the firmament reveals God's design, but then notice, secondly, the firmament requires our response. So then we come down to where we need to be today. If creation is God's handiwork, and it is, then how should we respond to that? I think there's three ways that we ought to respond. Number one, we should respond with worship. The proper response to seeing the glory of God is not curiosity. It is to worship. The heavens aren't just giving us some information. The Bible says they're inviting us to give God adoration. They call us to bow before the Creator and say this, "Lord, we love you. You alone are worthy of our worship." Number two, we ought to respond with gratitude. Every sunrise is mercy that God has given us another day to live. Every breath that we take is God's grace that He allowed us to breathe. Every meal that we eat, every drop of rain, every beautiful ray of sunshine is a reminder that you and I were dependent creatures. Here's the truth. I didn't create the world. You didn't create the world. We can't sustain the world. We receive life from only the hand of God. Well, thirdly, what should we do in light of this creation? We should respond with stewardship. You know, if the world is God's creation, and it is, we should treat this world with care. And even though we don't worship creation, we ought not abuse it as well. The earth belongs to the Lord, and we are His stewards, not the owners of this. And if the creation reflects God's glory, we should treat it with reverence and respect. And then notice the greater revelation. The truth is, we cannot stop with just creation. Psalm 19 begins with the heaven, but I made mention earlier in my introduction that it moves quickly, and the last part of the verse is the verses 7 down through verse 14. It moves to the Word of God. Creation tells us that God is glorious, but Scriptures tell us about Christ the Redeemer. Creation tells us that He is the Creator, and they declare the glory of God. But understand this, the cross declares the grace of God. We look at creation, we can see God's power. But at Calvary, we see God's mercy. In the skies, we see the majesty of God. But in the Savior, we see God's love for you and I. The heavens show us this, that God is great. But the gospel show us that Jesus Christ will save us if we repent of our sin and put our faith and trust in Him. I think this is important because creation can really just leave us amazed. But only Jesus Christ can make us forgiven. The stars tell us that God exists, and they do, but they can't tell us how sinners can be reconciled or drawn back alongside to God. For that, we need the Word of the God. We need the gospel. We need the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the gospel tells us that the glorious Creator entered His creation. The one who made the sun walked under the sun. The one who formed the stars was born underneath a star in Bethlehem. The one who stretched out the heavens, stretched out His hands on the cross of Calvary. And the one whose glory fills the skies, humbled Himself to save sinners just like you and I. You see, the truth of the matter is that Jesus Christ is the fullest revelation of God's glory. John puts it this way in John 1 in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, the Word speaking about Christ, and dwelt among us. And get this last part, and we beheld His glory. If you want to see the glory of God clearly, you don't have to look through a telescope. All you have to do is look to Jesus. Look at His perfect life. Look at His sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. Look to His victorious resurrection. Look to His promised soon return. The heavens declare the glory of God every day. But Jesus Christ displays God's glory in the work of redemption and saving lost sinners, just like you and I. Well, as we close, Psalm 19:1 gives us a simple but life-changing truth. The universe is not silent. It preaches the gloriousness of God. The heavens are preaching. The skies are still speaking. The firmament showing the handiwork of God. So when you walk outside after you leave this building today, why don't you look up? And when you see the sun, remember His faithfulness. When you hear the thunder and a rainstorm, remember the power of God. And when the heavens declare, let your heart be open and respond to what God has for you. See, the heavens aren't asking us to admire creation. They're asking us and calling us to adore the Creator. They're calling us to declare the glory of God. They're calling us to display the handiwork of God. And if creation, again, is already glorious, how much more glorious must the Creator be? For those that are here today and say, well, Pastor Carroll, I have been saved. There was a time in my life when I understood that I was a sinner. And without receiving Christ as my personal Savior, I would die because of my rejection of Christ and go to that place called hell. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you've been living underneath that preaching sky I spoke about earlier, but you haven't been listening because your fingers were in your ears. Maybe you've seen God's work, but you haven't worshiped the God who made them. Maybe you enjoyed some of the gifts and blessings that He has bestowed upon you, but you ignored His glory. The heavens declare that God is real. The Scriptures declare that God is holy. The gospel declares that God is gracious. And Jesus declares, come unto Me. Don't worship the creation and miss the Creator. Don't admire the heavens and reject the Savior's working in your life. The God who made the stars, get this, has also created and made you. And the God that holds this universe together can hold your life together if you'll just let Him. The God whose glory fills the heaven has revealed his grace in Jesus Christ. So Christians, look up and worship. Look to his word and listen. Look to Christ and live, as that wonderful hymn says. But to those that are here and don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're not saved, would you come to Christ today? Don't wait for a better time or a more convenient season. Listen, we're not guaranteed the next breath that we have, let alone the next minute, the next hour, the next day, the next month, the next year. We're not guaranteed that. The Creator who made you is calling you right now to receive Christ as your Savior. He died for you. He's able to save you. Would you turn from your sin and trust him this morning? Christ is waiting for you, and he's waiting for you and calling for you to be saved. Look at Psalm 19. Cast your eyes on verse number 1 as we close. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God.